Good morning. I bet that woke you up. Okay, quick question, honesty here. How many of you have already been on a social media site at some point or checked your email already today? See how many of you? Look at that, okay? Already today, you've checked it. Average Facebook user or average social media user checks their account 110 times per day. That's on average. Yes. In the evenings, every 6 seconds on average, people check their phones. Now, I bet a lot of you don't believe that. I don't really believe that, but that is what the statistics say. It's hard for me to believe. Melinda knows that's not true with me. My phone is always dead. And it's dead this morning, actually. We're going to be focusing for our interlude classes. We're just beginning an interlude session, so we're going to be combined. But for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be kind of addressing this issue of social media, the internet, a whole new world that a lot of us are entering into. And later in this class, I'm going to be talking about how that has changed dramatically, even in the last year, and how quickly this is changing. But for many of you that are on Facebook or on different social medias, you're going to know how important this class is. Because probably in the last 24 hours, you've also seen somebody post something, or you may have posted something that you probably shouldn't have posted. Or you see somebody say something that they just didn't think through. Or you sent that email that you did not think before you hit send. And a lot of times, we've talked about the tongue in the church. But now suddenly, we live in an era where every single one of us has a platform to speak to hundreds of people. And how we choose to use that platform is critical. And so these messages from James and Proverbs on the tongue are even more important right now, in a time where everybody has such an incredible tool, way to reach the world, way to speak to the world, but learning to use our voice, learning to use our keyboards and wisdom, that's going to be a lot of what the next several weeks are about. But I want to go ahead and begin with a video. Go ahead, Steve. I thought you were doing that for dramatic effect. It does fit the video.
I was reading about this guy named Bernie Krause who records nature sounds for film and television. And he was saying that in 1968, in order to get 1 hour of undisturbed natural sound, like no airplanes, no cars, it would take him about 15 hours of recording time. And he was saying that today, in order to get that same 1 hour of undisturbed sound, it takes him 2,000 hours of recording time. Reminds me of the story of one of the great Jewish prophets, Elijah, who's been going and going, and he's just about at the end. I mean, he's just totally stressed, just totally fried, and doesn't even know if he wants to go on. And God says, Elijah, go up on the mountain, because I'm going. Show up. And so Elijah goes up on the mountain. And so this wind comes on the mountain and it like shakes the mountain violently, but God isn't in the wind. And then there's this earthquake, but God isn't in the earthquake. And then like this massive fire covers the mountain, but God isn't in the fire. And then comes the still, small voice of God. Now, there's all this discussion about what exactly this voice is, because some people think that the actual Hebrew word doesn't even refer to a sound that you could like hear with your ears, like an audible noise. And so some translators translate the phrase that God was in the sound of sheer
Are there problems with technology? Actually, that is where we're going this morning. So looking at this, so I want to just begin with a discussion. Looking at technology, looking at social media, how many of you look at this and you look at a topic like this and you say, I'm lost. I have no clue about social media. How many of you is that? You just stay away from it altogether. There are going to be several hands. You're just like, Seth, look at you go. Are you serious? Oh, man. Some of you are looking at this and going, man, I just stay away from that stuff altogether. I like to go fly fishing in the mountains. I stay off my computer. I got an amen. I knew I'd get an amen there. Here's the thing. I want to begin by asking you, what are the pros? What are the benefits that we have today in social media? Or let me just say, our online resources, what we have, tell me the good things. Okay, so you see a lot of pictures of, I'm going to go ahead and go through some charts here in a second. Yes, which is exactly why the teens are leaving. Okay, so you think I'm joking. That's actually somewhat true. So that's absolutely right. The largest group going on are that we have older people. The nature of Facebook posts has been changing dramatically, but there's a lot of pictures of grandchildren, a lot of pictures of meals, a lot of pictures of this kind of stuff. But it does. It gives us access. And a lot of people have said things like, well, why do we have this? We should be a world that's more connected personally. And I agree with that completely. But some of you also understand, wow, we have friends and family all over this world. We live in a place where some of my closest friends are scattered across this world on different continents and different countries. And I would not have access to these people. These are people that I love, and get to see their life and get to follow them is an incredible blessing for me. Okay, so that's one blessing. What else? Okay, simple organization is become much more natural. It's much easier for quick events, getting the word out very, very quickly. So that has been a tremendous benefit as well. Any others? Real-time information. Absolutely. When somebody is sick or in the hospital, if somebody is hurting, we find out immediately. A lot of us at Metal Ark, we have benefited from that. You know what is happening as soon as it happens.
One of the things that I see consistently is that it's a wonderful way of sending spiritually encouraging messages to a lot of people very quickly.
Yes. Yes. For example, somebody may post something that is ugly. Somebody may post something that I say, why did you post that on Facebook? They might post something like, I hate God. Totally have seen that on my wall before. I hate God. I'm done with church. Now, My question to you is, would that person have hated God and been done with church without social media? Absolutely. But we wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have known the state of where this person is at, most likely. Now I'm in a position where I can respond. And knowing what is on people's minds, what's in their heart, and being able to respond, instead of thinking, oh, what a horrible thing to post on Facebook. Ooh, now I can think, wow, God has put us in a position where I can use this for His glory. I need to pray first, right? But this puts me in a position where I can respond to people's needs sometimes, okay? Anything else? And even though some of these relationships, you might look at it and you'd be right in saying, well, aren't these relationships maybe a bit more surface? Sometimes, but maybe sometimes not. But it does open up a door to have more relationships with more people. That's true, more of the time. David. So we have more access to something that is wonderful and beautiful and even holy, and we also have a lot more access to evil. We just have access. Everyone has access now, and that's scary. It's terrifying on both fronts, really. Anything else? Let's go to the negatives. What are some of the negatives? He'd have written more letters because he'd know more about what's going on. Yeah, but absolutely. Okay. Yes. I don't want to touch on that too much because that's going to be a lot of Daniel's topic here next week. But it is so true how people become somebody different. One, when they're anonymous. That's huge. And a lot of us know what it is to be able to be anonymous online and what we might say when we're anonymous. But even when we have a name and we're not looking into someone's eyes, what we can say and the person we can become. As much as it opens up doors to a lot of people at all the time, it does. Sometimes I do think it is hurting our ability to interact socially. To that point, we used to, when we take the youth group on trips, we would just have an unplugged time where, you know, because if you didn't, everybody was plugged in. Everybody was all the time. You would have conversations with somebody across the bus over the phone. And it was very natural. It wasn't even something that was considered funny. It was just natural. We had kids in our youth group that confessed they had their cell phone on so much and they were texting so often, literally they would take their phone and put it in a cellophane bag and take it to the shower with them. True story. Okay, that's how much we were plugged in. So we would just have a time where we're unplugged so we could work on this just talking to people thing. Okay, what else? Some other negatives. Vanna. To me, that is the largest one. That's the first one I thought of when I thought of negatives. Through text messaging, through email, not being able to see someone's face, not to be able to see their tone, we do. We misinterpret a lot. There's a lot of things. The scariest thing to me now is, and this isn't just for teens, this is for adults as well. Wow, when you go into a relationship, you have to become Facebook official, or you have to become whatever your social media official. And then when there's a breakup, I'm terrified about what I'm going to see on the wall. I'm terrified when somebody's going through a relational problem, what they're going to write and how much we can become passive aggressive and things we post, even pictures we might like, to send a message that is an ungodly message. And that's something that is a very serious problem, particularly in the world of social media. I'll give you a few graphs here. I love technology. We're batting 100 today. Am I out of batteries? Oh, our computer is doing this for a demonstrative purposes today. Okay. Yes. Has anybody ever gone on a social media fast? Have you done that? It's actually really common, especially for younger people who do it. You see people go on and off of Facebook. I'm deleting my account, and then a month later they're back on. And I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy, but we do need to learn control. This is 2014's latest graph about how many people use what social networking sites. You can see that Facebook is still by far in the lead. We had already talked about age groups that are using. Let me go to the next slide. Social media. No, okay, so it's just going to do its thing. Among teens, this is now, pay close attention to the dates here, because some of you are looking at this saying, that can't be true. This is 2011, 2012. It's changed dramatically in the last couple of years, though. Okay, you can see where Facebook was, I believe. Let me look for my key here. Yeah, 2011 is black, 2012 is blue. This is among teens. That is how Facebook was leading everything, right? This is, when we get to the next slide. This represents what's current. Now, pay close attention to this. The blue line on the bottom represents fall of 2012. The red line is spring of 2013. And the green is fall of 2013. Facebook was passed by Twitter and Instagram both amongst teens this last year. That's how dramatically it's changed in a year. Why do you think that is? Mostly, hey, my mom and dad just became my friend. It's time to go. Okay? True story. That's a whole lot of what's happening. Okay, so, but there has been a whole lot of change. We're changing the direction. And what intrigued me the most about this graph was the very top line, the green line representing other. In other words, it's changing so fast right now, and Instagram is already, it's almost running its course. A lot of these are running its course. Snapchat, a lot of these. They're quick programs that become popular really fast, but especially for younger generations, it's always about what's new. And so that will keep changing, and that other category will probably continue to grow. But this is kind of where we're at with social media. This is kind of the history there. But let's go ahead and while I'm waiting on some slides here, I'm sorry for some of that mix-up. I want to get to some Bible verses real quick. I want you to go to Matthew 12, 36 with me. I just want to look at a few of these. And largely, in this four-week series, we're going to be talking about wisdom, just wisdom. Prayerfully, knowing how to use. Now, obviously, when we say our tongue, we're talking about the way we use our words. It says this, I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. That verse, I looked at several verses that dealt with the tongue, and obviously the first thing we think of is James. But this one really resonated with me. Careless words. When I watch my Facebook feed, and I was going to keep it going this morning while I did the class, and I wasn't going to use any names or anything, but it is amazing how most of the posts that I see, I do, and I try not to be judgmental, but I question our motives. What are your motives when you post something to a social media site? You might post something that looks like it's healthy. You've said something good. And I want you to think about the last thing you posted. And again, I know not everybody's on here. But I want you to think about the last thing you posted. Could it have had a negative impact on someone else? Could it have? It might have meant something positive. But at the same time, were you accusing or saying something that could be hurtful to other people? That is a common mistake. It's something we do in our conversations, and it's something I see on Facebook a lot. You say something that is true. It might be healthy. It might be good. But in saying it, without recognizing that you were doing so, you were saying something hurtful to a lot of people. So I'm going to go over some what we call, I'm going to call the Beatitudes of social media here in a minute this morning, and kind of lay the groundwork for the class. It says this in Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I'm going to give you an assignment this week. Before I get into some of these, I want to give you an assignment. For those of you that are on social media, most of you are on email or something. I want you to think about what someone said. I can't remember, maybe Chuck or John had said earlier this morning. I want you to take a special and deliberate, deliberately, I want you to encourage somebody this week through social media, through Facebook, through email. I want you to think about ways to use these tools to encourage and build others up. When I post something on Facebook, and I've been guilty of this a lot, I don't really post anything on Facebook. I post pictures. It's very rare that I would say something. I honestly get too nervous. I get too nervous about the amount of people and the diversity of my audience. And I think a lot of you understand what I'm saying. How diverse this group of people is. When I post something, how will it be taken? How will it be interpreted? And maybe I should post more than I do, but I actually genuinely, if I get up here in front of 300 people on a Sunday and get somewhat nervous about what I'm going to say, what about if it's in print in front of more than that? And I just get really nervous about that. I think let every word that comes out of my mouth be to build somebody up. And that's what the next verse, I think, says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. And this is the most important thing for some of us who are using this. Did you know that you can get on any, and I don't even read these anymore, because you can get on any script or any forum or post that follows any video on YouTube. It's very rare that I see one that is not full of hatred and negativity. Almost every single one. You could post a video about a happy squirrel and a rainbow, and people are going to start talking about Hitler in just a few lines. It's amazing how negative, and it goes back to anonymity, how negative, and you find out so much about human nature through all of this, but it has come to the point where we've seen how dark the internet is and how dark human nature is. And that's something that has always been there. I think it is getting worse, but I do think that the internet has exposed it more than it's created it. I think it's probably always been there. And so we are learning a lot about human nature through this. And so when I post something And I do know, and I want you to know that when we have a class for this, if it doesn't apply to you, please know that it's relevant to a lot of people in here. Because many Christians that are godly people are saying horrible and unhealthy things online. It is crucial that we understand who we are in the closet, and who we are when we're anonymous is who we are. It's who we are. That is the mark of integrity in a person, is who we are when other people aren't looking. So when we talk about this, and I want you to think about your Facebook and even your own wall. I don't want to, you know, would never do this, but one time in front of a youth group, I was at a conference, and the speaker said, I'm going to randomly put up some of your walls here for the audience to see. And he was friends with a lot of the kids out there. He said, I'm going to just put up. Now, he didn't really do it. But he said, what would you think? How would you react if I put up your Facebook wall? Or if I were to put up your email? Or if I were to put up your texting? And I was to put it up in front of the whole world to see. Would you be ashamed of what's on there? Would you be ashamed? Were your posts intended to puff yourself up? Make yourself look better in front of people? Well, maybe to some degree. Maybe to some degree we shouldn't be too judgmental there. Were your posts intended to hurt somebody in a passive-aggressive manner? Were your posts intended, were they full of negativity? And so those are the kinds of things I want us to consider when we're getting online and so forth. I know it's doing this just because of the topic today. Here we go. We had talked about access to the world. I want you to think about this. This is the first thing that hit me. And I've got a lot of friends that fall into this category. There was a time when we would always talk about in the church, we would talk about unreached nations. We would talk about those nations that at sunset we had this hall of flags, and on the left it was all these flags that were flying in darkness, and in the front all the flags that were in the light, and the flags flying in darkness would represent those nations where the gospel really hasn't gone out into those places. That entire line of thinking is almost gone. The internet has done away with it. We can reach the world. Now I know that there is like one country out there, or maybe a couple, that really you can't even access to the internet. But really, we're able to access the world now with the gospel. We're able to reach people that are completely unreachable. I get to counsel with teens that are so completely transparent with me that will talk about their hatred for church. They don't even know me really that well. And we get to talk about things that they wouldn't talk about to anybody else. People that don't have church families, they don't have anything. We have access. And so this idea of access and being able to use this tool to glorify God, this is incredible. When the printing press came out, it was controversial as well. When various things have come out in society, various inventions, whatever the next stage is, there have been pros to it, there have been cons to it. And I want that to be the way we look at social media as well. So before I go to some of these Beatitudes, some of the time remaining, any other comments or points you'd like to make along those lines? Yeah.
So the kids that you work with, are they just have to run into them?
Well, I was a youth minister for a long time, so I have a lot of networking that I've been able to do, a lot of conferences that I've gone to where kids will get my email or something, and so they don't know me that well, but usually through youth rallies and conferences and stuff like that. For me, that's what it is. Okay, now what is cyberbullying? We're going to define some terms when we're in this class. What does that mean? Okay, and that is a reality. It really is. It's a major issue. Yeah.
Doesn't sound simple, but you know, Facebook and all the social media,
Okay. Oh, they are analyzing us, absolutely. Yeah. You're leading into a question I was going to close with and kind of prepare us for the next few weeks, but it is true. Now your Facebook page is becoming something of a resume. And it is important, even as younger ages especially, keep in mind that your Facebook page is probably going to be monitored by your current job or by jobs you might be looking at. David? Yes.
You don't own it. If you pull Facebook, you can use my information for about anything you want. If you use Google Mail or Google Apps, if they own your data, you can find a picture of you and your kids in an advertisement someday and have a customer resource. So, and employers, I was going to make the same point. I can resume, I can email every time. And I learn a lot sometimes, and sometimes I don't learn a lot. But I think that comment dovetails on what you said of what the big mistake people make on social media, I believe, when they post things, you said why they do it, I think there's a lot of reasons. A lot of times it's just to seek attention. A lot of times it's not. A lot of times it is. And as I psychologically diagnose me, I'm thinking of an audience. It's a subset of the people that are going to see it, but I'm thinking of my kids or my family or some people who really enjoy this, and I'm missing out.
Now, that's not just true, and this is going to be important I say this. For sites like that are a little bit more dark, like Snapchat, I don't know if you've heard of that one. There's a few that are a little darker. It's the idea that you just take a picture and you can send it to somebody and it's deleted fairly quickly. It's being used for all kinds of horrible purposes, especially among youth. Even on sites like that, please know they still own all of your data. It is not deleted. And that's a lot of people don't understand that, but yes, they own all your data on all of these sites. Mm-hmm. Go over here. Is that right? Okay, that's the first I've heard that. Oh, because of Facebook posts. It is true that you could post something that would embarrass her. Yeah, or post a picture of them that they didn't want posted, and oh, you're toast. Yeah, yeah, okay. And that's why it does become something that we should consider, and I myself and a lot of us. Think about this when you post something. Again, it goes back to the point. is this intended to make me look good? And that's not always bad. Keep in mind that's not, okay? I admit I put on a shirt this morning that was not wrinkled, okay? There are, to a point, I can understand. Okay, but at the same time, it's healthier to think in terms, and what Scripture's guiding us to do is, rather, you have this incredible avenue to reach so many people, post things that will build others up. You have such an opportunity through this. And to train ourselves to think like this all the time, particularly in social media, it's going to be crucial to our representation also of Christ. So let me ask you, I'm going to close with this question. It's a big question to spend the last couple of minutes on, so mostly I'm going to prepare you for weeks to come. What about kids? If you're a parent of kids, at what age would you allow them on social media? Would you allow them on social media? Would you allow them on Facebook? Now, I know if I ask a question like this, I'm standing in front of a group of parents that are going to disagree. And that's good. That's healthy. But I think it's also healthy that we discuss it because I'm asked that question a lot. Okay? And so I want to just put it back to you. At what age is it healthy and under what terms and conditions go? Justin. Steve? Oh, Brooklyn will never get on Facebook. Yes, okay. That's a huge question. David has your answer.
So, you know, there are a lot of opinions. This is just my opinion. One of the ways you do that is you have one computer in your home, and it is in a public area. It's in the living room. When your kids are of a certain age, and you delay as long as possible when times change, how long they get a smartphone. Because once they have a smartphone, and by the way, if you do get a smartphone for them, you investigate the company that provides the best parental controls for that smartphone. But our agreement with our kids was, okay, here's the computer you can do that on, and we need your passwords. So the expectation of the right of privacy for your children is different among families. Yep. We told ours that you don't get any. We want to monitor those kinds of things because of the damage. And oh, by the way, our daughter, and she'll kill me for telling this story, not knowing better, the day she got her driver's license, scanned it and posted it. so she didn't know. That's one reason it's really crucial, because there are some really bad people out there. So in general, as a parent, you have to be wise as a serpent.
That's right. A lot of it is going to come to time. I'm going to provide a piece of paper that's going to give you a lot of resources during this class as far as things you can use. But ultimately, and a lot of you already know this, after we've exhausted all of those resources and we have applied every rule in the book, the Richters had something really cool that turned off a cell phone at a certain hour or something like that. Or was that what it was? After 9 o'clock, there's something that just turns off the ability to text after a certain time. So it's really cool. So there's a lot of things out there. But when everything is said and done, integrity is the answer. We have to be training our children in integrity. Because the bottom line is, there is going to come a point, and it is true that most kids and most teens are more technologically advanced than their parents. There does come a point where the most important thing we can do is train them in integrity. in exactly what we're talking about today. Whatever umbrella you create, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yes. So the point is, train them in integrity, but with this caveat, we need to be nurturing them and we need to be guiding them and training them, because if I was a teenager, I'm so thankful Facebook was not around when I was a teenager, and I would have wanted my parents to guard what I would say, because I know I would look back and be humiliated and embarrassed about the decisions I would have made. We are out of time, but looking forward to the next several weeks. We're going to be kind of covering this topic from different vantage points. Father, we lift up our families to you, our hearts and our minds. We pray, Father, that we'd advance forward in our society and where we are with wisdom. Father, that you have put us in a place and a time that is very complicated, very confusing for many of us. But God, I praise you for your word. It's timeless. We pray that we would be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves in the way we approach this world, and particularly this avenue of social media. God, I pray that you would use our tongues, that you'd use our thoughts and every platform that's out there. Father, may we glorify you in word, in conduct, and faith, and in purity. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.